one this morning. We're in the house of the Lord once again. Welcome to each one here. Some new faces. Lord bless you. May the Lord be your portion this morning. And we come collectively, but we come as individuals as well. And if we desire Him this morning to meet with Him, and that's exactly what He'll undertake. He'll make sure that we get a touch for Him. Let's just bow our heads in prayer this morning and welcome our Lord here. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we come before you, Lord. Like we said, Lord Jesus, as we're individuals, Lord, if our hearts, Lord, yearn for you, Lord, there's a deep call us to the deep, Lord. Then there's a deep to respond, Lord, this morning. So, Lord Jesus, we just come before you with, Lord, our hearts surrendered, Lord, that you might speak to us. May you draw us closer to yourself, Lord. We desire that closer walk with you this morning. Lord, if there's bonds that hold, Lord, this morning of the devil, Lord, I pray that you would just break the chains this morning as we come before you in worship. Praise, Lord, we pray a blessing upon each one here and those that might listen in as well, committing all things into your hands, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing I'm Thinking of the Rapture, number 312.
I am thinking of the rapture in my blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering in, I will raise a heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in, when Amen. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Hallelujah. Jesus is a wonderful Savior.
Old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his blessed blood that took me. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he brought me with his. I knew him, and all my life is
Lord. We owe them all. We owe them everything, don't we? Praise the Lord. Let's sing Count Your Blessings, name the one by one. Number 315.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When upon my pillows we when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost,
Let's sing The Voice of My Beloved. And then, was there going to be any items this morning? Just so I can...
The voice of my beloved, behold, he quickly comes, sweeping over mountains, over hills. I long to hear his voice. I long. It's manifest in time. The fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, to have God's chosen bride, redemption drawing nigh. Is that lovely one?
From Sister Merle, if that's right. It's before she gets ready, we'll just sing one more here, number 383, and then I'll ask you to come in the redemption. Thanks, Nancy. Yeah. 383, I'll Fly Away.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away.
There's a light in the window, table spread with splendor, someone standing by the open door. I can't see the crystal river, so I must be there forever. You see, I've never been this homesick before. I see the bright light shine, amen. It's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. I can see the families gathered, sweet faces all familiar. Oh, no one old or feeble anymore. I'm going to spread my wings for flying, for I've never been this homesick before. I see the bright light shine, it's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. I have heard the end time message as spoken by the prophet. He told me of the bridegroom's love for sure. The King of Glory yonder has given me his promise. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. I see the bright light shine, it's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. We are waiting for the rapture to be with our dear loved one, rejoicing with the saints forevermore. So come, dear Lord, and take us to a heavenly home on high. Lord, we've never been this homesick before. Bright light shine, it's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Lord, I've never been so homesick before.
Thank you, sister. May the Lord continue to be your strength, Sister Mill. I know that he is. Praise the Lord. We just really appreciate what he's given you, and that you can continue to use it for the Lord. I'm just going to ask if Brother Bill wouldn't mind coming and bring these prayer requests now, and I'll let him read them out. Is Sister Diane Lord?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. If you wouldn't mind coming now, Bill. these couple.
Right, well, I can't sit behind people who I don't know who I'm sitting behind. So, Anaru, who's these fellas?
I'm going to say the name's wrong, but it's
Heta. Heta, who are you? Heta who?
Hira.
From Ruatoria?
Yeah.
Hira, it's Hira.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Hira. He used to live in Ruatoria. And who's this fella here?
Rangi.
Rangi. Kara. From where, Rangi? Gisborne. Tom, who sat beside you, please?
Chris.
Chris King. Kia ora, Chris King. And who sat by you, Hinawe?
Marianne Mason.
Like the Masons from Whakapaurangi? Okay. Ka pai. And we know everyone else. We know Kevin Lee. Good to see you, bro. Well, I've been sitting on 2 Thessalonians, and in chapter 3 it says, I'm just so blessed by this, it's so simple, but it's so true. But the Lord is faithful.
Amen.
The Lord is faithful, Hira. The Lord is faithful, boy. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Amen. Simple, Chris? But that's how it is. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And then further down in verse 13, it says, but you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Kiritapu's got a whānau who's not weary in well-doing, always looking after him and caring for his needs, old one. God bless you, fellas. And so we've got a couple of prayer requests here, and then we'll ask other people. So this is from this fella in India, Moses. He says, one old sister, 84 years old, Mrs. Sabaral, she was a good believer, sleeping in the Lord, and funeral and burial took place by 5:30 p.m. Many people were there, both non-Christian and Christians, and as she was from a Hindu caste and converted to Christianity, we call like this. Today, God was glorified there in the funeral service message. Praise the Lord, eh? Just pray for those people who were there who don't know the Lord, that their hearts will be turned to the Lord. She and her late husband had 4 sons. 4 are lawyers. 3 of them are Christians, and her daughter also a Christian. Also, all her grandchildren are good believers. Please pray for that whānau and for the condolences fixed on the third day, that is on the 11th of August, 2012. There will be many people in gospel, and condole words will be shared. Awesome, eh? That all the way from India, that fellow would think to send us that prayer request for that family. So we want to pray. I guess it's the Rao family, R-A-O. Is that it, bro, on that? Oh, and let's continue to lift up Israel before their Lord, to keep them and anoint them in all of their decision-making, and to encourage them regardless of their enemies, which are currently attacking Israel right now. And the Bible says, they that bless Israel, hallelujah. Has anyone else got any prayer requests? Yes? Yep. AJ. Yep, ka pai. Hinawe? Oh.
Yeah, I'll speak to the
Peter.
Ethelyn Jim's son was involved in a motorcycle accident on Tuesday, and he was in a very serious condition in Middleton Hospital. He's had several surgeries, but he's a young, well, comparatively young, healthy man, and he's responding well to the surgery. But it's just keep him in our prayers.
Is that Jonathan, yeah. I called in to see Jim and Ethel the other day. Jim's 95, Ethel turned 80, and they love the Lord.
Amen.
And they listen in to they could be listening to us right this minute. So we'll lift up Jonathan. He's a lovely young man. And pray for those children. I said to Jimmy the other day, even when you die, don't worry about it. You know, they're worried that their kids are not following the Lord. it might take him to pass away before they come to the Lord. It's all in God's dimension, not in our dimension. Anyone else? Jen? I'll pray for my dad. He's 87. He still works. He fell over the other day in Tiki Tiki and hurt his leg, and he's got 3 bad sores on his legs. One is a little bit ulcerated, and he wants me to, I have to go with him on Tuesday. So just pray for my dad. And I even said, because my great-grandfather was a non-conformist preacher in England, I said, Dad, I think you need to read some of your tipuna's sermons, because time is short. Mill? Okay. That's just pimps for the Lord. Pimp squeaks. Yep. In Riverdale, this Riverdale, just over here. Anyone else? What about you, Hira? You got anything you want us to pray for, boy? You're right? Kapoi. Jan? And Jan's brother, he's a really bad diabetic, and he's got problems with his legs. Kapoi? Okay, let's pray. Man, God, you are faithful. Lord, you are faithful. And we come to you, Lord, because we know that you are faithful, Lord, and that you hear your people's voice, you hear their cry, Lord Jesus. That you will establish us in you, Lord. We don't need to worry or concern ourselves about anything, but just be established in you, that you will establish us in yourself. And all we have to do is yield and allow ourselves to be established by you, Lord, and that you will keep us from evil. Lord, and we just come before you and we just pray for the Rao family over there in India, Lord, as they've lost their mum and nanny, Lord. And we just pray that you would comfort them and that her funeral service would have been a great testimony to the people, to encourage the believers and to cause the people who don't believe to turn their hearts to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'll grant that. And bless that brother Moses over there, Lord. We love him, Lord, even though we've never seen him. Lord, that he's our precious brother in the Lord. And we care about him and we love him, Lord. And we don't want to be weary in well-doing to pray for him and just to uphold him in whatever way we can help. Lord, we want to pray for young Jonathan Lethem, Lord Jesus, for his accident, Lord. Lord, we know that the prayers of his parents will have gone up, Lord, and we just want to add on to them, Lord, and just pray that you would heal that young man. And that in this trial, Lord, and in this serious situation, that it would cause him to turn his heart, to turn towards the Savior that his parents believe in and the Savior that was taught to them as young children, Lord, as young people. Lord, just the lady AJ who's expecting and have a baby, Lord, you can change that. I know a cool testimony about that, Lord, of how you just undertook. Lord, for our visitors today, Lord, you just touch their hearts, Lord Jesus. Right where they are right now, Lord, Hido and I can't remember the name of the fella, Kara, and the lady Mason and Chris here, Lord, that you'll just touch their hearts today, Lord. And Lord, I pray for Howard, Lord, as he brings a message through. Yeah, just undertake for him. And we just look to you, Lord, today. Like the song said, look to you. We don't look at what's around us, Lord. We look to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to just tell you this quick testimony before I sit down. Was the South Africans ended up coming home. God really led them to us, brought them home to have tea. The man was, he taught us first aid, Gracie and I. And then we invited them for tea. We didn't know he had a whole whānau with him up the coast. So they all came for tea and they were Christians. As time went on, they were Christians. They had a girl who had a cochlear implant? You know, she had like a hearing aids and then things stuck into her brain so she could hear properly. When that woman got hapū with her, the doctors tried to encourage her to abort this child. They said, the child inside of you is terribly deformed. And that child is not going to be able to speak or hear. They're going to be blind. They're going to be physically deformed. And because they were Christians, they said, we cannot do that. And they put a lot of pressure on them because they said, you know, that child is going to be a burden. for the rest of its life. And they cried out to their God, our God, the same God that we've got, and they said, Lord, if you do anything, if she has to have anything, just let her be deaf. When she's 11 years old now, you wouldn't know anything different. She's just completely normal. Like, she can see, her brain functions normally, her body's normal, but her ears, she can't hear anything without these cochlear implants. And you know, they could have aborted that child and robbed themselves of a blessing for their whānau and a blessing for all of us. So we, our God, the God we serve, he's mighty and he's faithful.
Let's just sing a couple more and then I'll ask Brother Hill to come. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul. You alone are the Lord's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone does my spirit heal. And renew our
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. And we sang a beautiful song, Create in Me a Clean Heart. Do you really mean that? We want God to create a clean heart in us. God has to do this. We cannot do it of ourselves. We're just little wretched sinners that need God. And brothers and sisters, I pray that that song will be answered as we come around the word of God this morning. Welcome you all here. It's good to have a few visitors here. God bless you. We pray that the Lord will minister to us all and help us all to get close to Him. Praise be to God. Well, I just want to say that it's good to be in the house of God. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but in the house of God on Sunday morning. Brother Kevin Lee, God bless you, brother. Good to have you here. He's been here, back in the 70s when you first came to the first convention. Brother Kevin really loves the Lord. Amen. Got quite a big family, and a lot of them are serving the Lord too. Some maybe not, but some are. And some of them used to be in the church for years. So we just pray God will bless you, Brother Kevin, today. Been very active in producing tracts and things and outreaches. And isn't it great to see people outreaching to souls? Time's running out. Oh, hallelujah. So we really appreciate that, Brother Kevin, and I know the Lord does too. So I wonder if we could just stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Oh, excuse me. Which says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath to buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. May God just bless the reading of his precious word. Shall we just pray? Precious Lord God Almighty, who's present here in this building, right in this room now to touch hearts. Amen. We know your Spirit's here, Lord. We feel your presence. We pray, God, that you'll come by your Holy Spirit and reveal thy precious word to us as you spoke it. We've just read the words that you said. I pray, Lord, that we'd be encouraged and strengthened. Bless each person here and those around the world who are joining with us now on the internet. May they be blessed as they join the service. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I've entitled this message this morning, Hidden Treasure. Hidden treasure. And the parable of Jesus carries a simple and profound eternal truths. And this parable was not to entertain about the man going into the field and finding pearls and things. It has both these parables, he said them together, carry the same sober message. And in John 6:63, we read this: it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words of the Lord are spirit and life. It's powerful. Who believes that? The words of the Lord are just so wonderful. It's just supernatural. That's why. Because he is the word of God, and I pray that God will speak to us through his word today. And we need his Holy Spirit in us to be able to understand his words. Otherwise, it's like reading code. You look at a code, it's just a whole lot of numbers and figures and things. You don't know what it is. But if you know how, if you have the secret code cracker, you can read and understand what that means. They did that during the war, we know that. But this is greater than the code cracker. Brother and sister, this is the Spirit of the living God. He is the revealer of his own word. He doesn't need me or anyone else to reveal it. And when God reveals his word, he'll reveal it to you by his spirit. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. So we need his spirit to be able to understand his words. And when we receive his word and obey it, they bring life into you.
Amen.
That's the power of the word of God. It brings life into you. And Jesus likens the treasure to the kingdom of heaven. So we should listen very carefully this morning. We're speaking about the kingdom of God. And the first thing to note about this treasure is that it was hidden. Now, brother and sister, these words are not willy-nilly said or written. They've got deep meaning. It says that the kingdom of God is hidden and it has to be searched for. You don't just say, oh, I'm going down to pack and save or something. No. The kingdom of heaven's hidden and you've got to find it. And if you search for it with all your heart, you will find it. And when you find it, you'll find out it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the kingdom of heaven. So we just pray that the Lord will bless it to us. And once found to be treasured with utmost care. You know, when you find treasure, you don't just put it anywhere. You put it in a safe place. If you went out there and you found $10,000, you wouldn't just put it in your glove box. It's not safe enough, not in this day and age. You would put it in a safe place. Well, this is more than $10,000. This is eternal life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so it's got to be treasured with utmost care. Now, the kingdom is not obvious and apparent to all. It's just not that way. And we turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 20. I've got a few scriptures here this morning. They're up on the screen so you can see it straight away. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So it's not with the eyes you see it. And I want to read this from the Amplified Bible, which is really good. Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, and he replied to them by saying, the kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed or with visible display. Why is that? Because the kingdom of God is within the believer. It's inside you. How can the kingdom of God be in you? It can be. It's another dimension. Don't think in times of physical. The kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. And Jesus goes on to say in Luke 17:21, neither shall you say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
Now that's clear. He made it very clear to us. The kingdom of God is within you. When the Holy Spirit comes into you, so does the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit comes into you, so does the kingdom of God. Some think they have to go and find a church to find God.
No.
That's right. No. Some think all they have to do is find a church to go to find God. Some think if they can find a good preacher, they will find God. Or if they find a deep revelation of the word of God, they will find God. But none of those things will guarantee you entrance into the kingdom. Now, a lot of people go from church to church, this church to that church. I'll try this, I'll try that. Listen, it's not in churches or in preachers or anything. It's in God's mercy and grace to you. And if you want him and search for him like that man with a treasure, you will find it. When something is hidden, it requires a sincere search. You've done it, we've all done it, we've lost something, Maybe just as even a small thing, we've got to find that. We look everywhere, we can't find it. We search and search until we find it. Now, if you have a hunger for God today, any of you here, or any of you people out on the internet, if you have a hunger for God today, you'll have to search for Him. He's not just on the shelf. You've got to search for God. The kingdom of God is the Lord Himself, as we found out. And when you find Him, you enter into the kingdom. This is a great honor and a great privilege in a very troubled world we're living in right now. This world is in serious trouble. You realize that, don't you, folks? We need God. The world's starting to realize we need God. They should have been thinking about it a long time ago. And so, Brother Branham made this statement here. The kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. You belong to that kingdom. That's the reason women don't bob their hair. They don't wear shorts. That's the reason men don't smoke cigarettes and things like that. They're from above. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Their spirit teaches them righteousness and holiness. They don't swear. They don't use bad language and things. Why? They've been born from above. They are different. They're citizens from above. So it requires, brother and sister, a deep searching from the individual to find God. Now I want this to be really clear to you. I pray it will be. It's got to be a deep searching by the individual. It's nothing to do with me or the person next to you, your wife or your husband. You have to do the searching. I've got to do the searching. We all need to search ourselves. If you really want them, you'll find them. Hallelujah. So the hidden treasure is hidden from the wise and the prudent. It's actually just cannot go out there and find it. You've got to really search for it. And revealed unto searching babes, babes in Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 12 we read, then shall you call upon me, the Lord speaking to Jeremiah, then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me, and find me. When? When is a condition? When you shall search for me with all your heart. That's thus saith the Lord. That's what God's word says. So that's a wonderful promise. If God never gives you a revelation of how precious this treasure is, if He ever gives it to you, of how precious this treasure is, you'll search for Him with all your heart, body, mind, and soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when the man finds the treasure, Jesus said he hides it. Now, this is interesting. In Matthew 13:44, let's read that. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. So he's got in the field, he's found treasure, and he hides it. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. That became number one, that field. Why? It had treasure in it. So why would he hide treasure he's just found? And there's only one answer to this, I believe. The fear of losing it. I tell you, as I said, if you find that $10,000, you don't just put it in the glove box. You put it in a secure place, and you hide it from others because you want to keep it. This is far greater than $10,000. This is eternal life. When you find it, even this morning, you need to treasure it and hide it in your heart. And don't let anyone else try and take it from you. It's for you. And there's only one answer. As I said, the fear of losing it. Saints, we must be very diligent and sober. And we don't lose our Lord. You don't lose Him. If you lose the Lord, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. We've had a funeral here recently. Dear Sister Shirley, and she was in the box, as we said. But she had the Lord. The body went in the box, and the soul went to glory. And she got a new body as she went up. And she went to be with the Lord in the kingdom of God because she had found the kingdom. And you must all find the kingdom. Because we're all going to leave. We're all just temporary dwellers. We're just passing through. We're not here forever. You say, oh, everything's going great for me. Hey, listen, you may not be here tomorrow. You say, I'm feeling good. Yes, but you might die tomorrow too. You don't know. The bus might run you over. Hope not. But what I'm saying is, we're all vulnerable, every one of us, and we must know where we stand with God. Amen. It's not just coming to church. It's not just hearing a good preacher or whatever. You've got to find the kingdom of God yourself. And so we see, he wanted to preserve it. He's frightened of losing it. You know, saints, we must be very vigilant and sober that we don't lose Him. It's absolutely possible to lose the Word of God that's been sown in your heart. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus said so. I'm not going to give my own opinion. I'm going to say what He said. Jesus gave another parable explaining this very truth. We're going to read it in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. He always spoke in parables. It's really easy to understand. It's like a little story with a meaning. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and you're hearing it this morning, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. So be careful. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and annoy, or immediately, means, anon means immediately, with joy receiveth it. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. This really makes it clearer even. As for what was sown in on thin rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once becomes, welcomes and accepts it with joy. See, you can accept the word with joy. Oh, praise the Lord, I enjoyed being in that service. Listen, we had a lot of people here at the funeral, and a lot of them said, we're coming back. Haven't seen one. The enemy takes it out of their heart. You see, they knew God was here. They felt the presence of God. Yes. And it goes on to say, yet as he has no root in him, but is temporary, and lasts but a little while, inconsistent, and when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on the account of the word of God, at once he is caused to stumble. He is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him, the Lord, whom he ought to trust and obey. And he falls away. I just think that's real sad. How many people followed Jesus Christ? And most fell away. Most were lost. Don't let that be you. The Lord Jesus Christ is here this morning in spirit form right now. You accept Him, you'll be so happy you did. And you find that wonderful pearl of great price. Saints, we need to hide the Word of God deep in our heart. It becomes very precious to hold the Word of God deep in your heart. Should be everything to you. It's everything to me, but I can't make it everything to you. You've got to make those choices. We need to take it with all seriousness and treasure it. Hallelujah. I love what Proverbs says. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. What? Mercy and truth. That's what we need to do. And in Psalm 119 we read, verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Hallelujah. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Don't wander from the commandments of God, brother and sister. You hold dear to it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Praise be to God. So how do you know it's real treasure? This is a good question. I want you to listen carefully. How do you know it's real treasure? It's always on our hearts and in our minds and on our lips. That's treasure. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, listen to these piercing words. For as he thinketh in his heart, talking about a man, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not what he speaks, what he thinks in his heart. You can say a lot of things on the outside, but what are you thinking in your heart? Eat and drink, saith he. It's talking about a man, you get somebody in around the table. Eat and drink, you tell them. Eat and drink, saith he to thee. But his heart is not with thee. These things are real, brother and sister. They're very real to me, and I pray that they're real to you. We're not playing church. You may not be here tomorrow. You might cross over to eternity. You need to listen to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So how do we know? Let's turn to Proverbs. Chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh, we just read that. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You might say, oh, come on, eat up. I'm going to look after you. I'm blessing you. But his heart's not there. He's got other thoughts about you. That's what he's saying. So that's how we know. Our very own thoughts. I want you to listen. Our very own thoughts. Your thoughts. Not my thoughts, anyone else's around you. Your thoughts declare to you our real treasure. What you are thinking, what I'm thinking is my real treasure. It's precious to me. I don't care what I say to others. Now listen to this. The very conversation, your conversation, daily conversation, declares to others our real treasure. You're always talking about it. It's not what, you know, brother and sister, you see what I'm saying? People say, I'm for the Lord, you know, and then you're talking about everything else. Your real treasure is what you're hunting for. It comes out. It just blurts out of you. And in your mind, you're thinking of a lot of things. You've always got your mind on the money or something. Just an example. That becomes your treasure. But if you're thinking about the Lord, you're always thinking about Him, even in bed at night. You're thinking about the Lord. That's your real treasure. That is your test. That's how you test. Not whether you go to church. And that's nice to go to church. But brother and sister, even our conversation, when we get with people, all they talk about is the world. Seldom do they mention the Lord. And it's such a refreshing When you meet somebody that they're always talking about the Lord within 10 minutes, less than that, they can't help themselves because it's their treasure. Hallelujah. And that is your treasure to other people. He's a Christian. How do you know? Do you go to church? I don't know whether you go. He always talks about God. Hallelujah. That's your treasure. Say what you will. You got to face the issue head on. I've got to know this. The Lord may come next week. I want to be ready for him. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, because it's in his heart. It's good treasure. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's your telltale. When it comes out of you, oh, you said that. That's what's in your heart. There's no hiding. You declare yourself. We declare ourselves by what we speak. And we declare it even more by what we think. For a word is a thought expressed. So it's in your heart, it's in your mind, and it comes out of your mouth. And it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You can say what you will. You can say, I love this, or I love you, and I love this, and I love that. And then after you start talking about that person, proves it.
Hallelujah.
Something wrong. Oh, eat up. Come to my place for tea. Oh, we love having you here. But then the Bible says, but your heart's not with them. He's putting on a good show, but God sees the heart. God doesn't look at the outside. He looks on the inside. So if we don't treasure it, we lose it. If you don't treasure God, if you don't treasure the kingdom of God, you'll lose it. The Bible declares that. Now the last thing he did, this man, found the treasure. He went to secure his find. After hiding this great treasure, he went about to secure it. What does the Bible tell us? We read this in 2 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore, rather, my brethren, give diligence to make your calling. Now, this is what we're talking about, your calling. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. This kingdom of God has got to be settled in your heart, not in the church, not in your wife or your husband, not in your girlfriend. It's got to be settled in your heart, because this calling and election by God of you has got to be sure and steadfast in your life. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our salvation is the most precious treasure we have. It is the most precious treasure we have. There is nothing greater than to be filled with the Spirit and walking with Him.
Amen.
Who wants to be filled with the Spirit?
Amen.
Let me say this. To be filled with the Spirit, there is a price. God doesn't fill dirty vessels. They're going to be cleaned, and He's the only one that can clean them. So we should have godly fear of losing this precious gift. Who's glad to have salvation this morning? Oh, I'm so glad to have salvation. And so I haven't got it, Brother Howard. Well, you can have it this morning. God wants you to have salvation. He wants to bless you. He wants to save you. He wants to put you in heaven. He's not against you. He's for you. Who knows God's for you?
Amen.
The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
That's the kingdom of God. That's what God has given to us. God's not against people. He's for people. It's people that are against God and wonder why they wind up in hell is because they're against Him. But He's for you. You receive the gift He's given you. Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. So here it is. We don't want to lose it. It says in Hebrews 4:1, let us therefore fear. Oh, there's something to fear about. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us, you and I, of entering into His rest in the kingdom, any of you should seem to come short of it. Isn't that awful? You come so close to it and you missed it. They come so close to the kingdom of God. We preached on that recently. You know, we get so near to the kingdom. Like the rich young ruler came up to Jesus and said, Master, what must I do to have eternal life? He got down. Oh, look good. He was kneeling. Oh, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? He meant it. He came to the right person. He asked the right question. And Jesus said, sell all you have. But like this man had to sell us all his treasures to get that field. Sell all you have. This is it, brother, sister. Take up your cross. Give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. And the Bible said, after him begging, calling him Master and Lord, when he told him that, the Bible says he was sad and he turned away. For he had much possessions. And he lost eternal life. After coming that close, there was Jesus. You know when he was kneeling down? Jesus was standing there. When he stood up, Jesus was there and he was there. Looking straight at him. That's how close you can get to God and still miss it. Don't miss it, brother and sister. Be serious. You hold on to eternal life. You bind it about your neck. It's hidden treasure, found it, don't lose it. He says, if any of you should come short of the kingdom, it's just that serious. We should earnestly treasure to keep Christ. Let him be number one on your heart. Yes, not in your mouth. Oh, I'm a Christian. Praise the Lord. I testify. That's good. But what's your mind saying? What's your heart saying? I love you, Lord, with all that's within me. That's your test. That's how you know that you're a real treasure. Or is it full of this? I'm going to get a new car. I've got to build a house. I've got to do this. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But when that takes the place of Christ, you've lost it. So may God help us all this morning. Salvation is ours as a free gift. Like the man finding the treasures in the field. He found them. Let us all secure that gift. Have your salvation sealed by God so it cannot be lost. Because it can be lost. We just read it. A man landed in the field, landed among thorns. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I love this. This is wonderful. And then he became offended. It's very temporal and he lost it. Help us all. Help me, Lord. These things are very serious. The world has no idea what's coming. Have no idea what's ahead of them. It's closer than we think. Amen. We need to be secure in Christ Jesus now. This is the hour. The trembling time to be living. And great care must be given to our salvation. You know what the Bible says? Let's read it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul speaking to the believers. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, not just because I'm here, he says, but how much more in my absence. You brethren, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is a serious matter. And it's your salvation, not mine. I've got my own to care for. You've got to make sure you find this treasure, find the salvation in Jesus Christ, and accept him as your Lord and Savior. You need to do that. And mean business with God. So he made Christ his number one treasure, this man. He realized he had other treasures. He did have other treasures. The Bible says so. But he quickly realized it was not possible to have both running at the same time. It's either Christ or the world. Let you think on that. You cannot have Jesus Christ as number one treasure and having these other treasures popping up all the time. Yeah. Taking away your thinking, taking away your desires. It's either Christ or it's the world. Like the rich young ruler came to him. He wanted salvation. What must I do to have eternal life? He wanted it. That was going to be his treasure. But then Jesus said, well, sell. Sell all you got. That's what he said. That's exactly what the parable was. He had to go and sell his treasures so he could buy the field. He quickly realized it's not possible to have both. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof. Now, if he's happy to do this, it's not, oh, I'm going to give up this. I've got to give up that. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's a joy that he sold all that he had, that he may buy the field which had the great pearl. The great treasure was in the field. He had to buy the field. Who wants the field? It's not the field we want, it's the treasure, but the treasure's in the field. So it became his property then. He bought it, but he had to sell the other. You can't have both. Won't work. There's a wonderful truth here. Now these things may not be evil things. These other treasures may not be evil things. They may not be. But the things that require all your time and devotion, takes up all your time and your devotion, you're always thinking about it in your heart all the time. And the Lord Jesus is left out in the cold. He's not even a part of it anymore. Because these other treasures are pressing in. At the expense of securing your heavenly treasure, they push in. Let's turn to Matthew 6:31. The Lord speaking again. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. We are Gentiles. You know that. We're not Jews. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of clothes and food and everything. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't that a wonderful word? But he says, I know you need these things, but don't put your time and your effort and all your thinking and all your talking about that. You seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, for he may come in the morning. What will those things mean then? Nothing. So when you come to Christ, you'll definitely have to make some choices. You cannot escape this. There's no way around it. You're going to have to make some choices. Maybe only five out of the church. That's reality. Yes. Oh, no, Brother Howard, no. Hold on. When Jesus wanted to save the world in Noah's time, he preached for 120 years the gospel. So they knew all the sermons, they knew all the truth. God's going to judge the world. God's going to do this. You need to repent and come to God because he's going to flood the world. Eight made it. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That's our day. It's going to be very few, brother and sister. So what I'm trying to say, we've got to wake up. We need to wake up and realize, what are we doing with ourselves? We've been drifting along with all these other treasures that are taking our time and our devotion and our thoughts. And the Lord squeezed out of our life. God help us. There's no way around it. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. That rich old young ruler, he made the wrong decision standing right next to Jesus. If I can just get close to God, that's good to get close to God. Wonderful, but you're going to make a right choice when you're there. I come to church, that's great, but what are you doing about his word? Have you obeyed what he said to do? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This man looked at his little worldly treasures and he realized he couldn't have them both. He realized he couldn't have them both. In Matthew 6:24, it says, no man can serve two masters. Here it is. For either he will hate one and love the other. This is the issue. Or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do it. I've got to realize this myself. I cannot serve two. You've got to serve God or you've got to serve mammon, which is the world. In Matthew, I'll leave it there. We cannot serve God and mammon, deceitful riches and money and possessions, or whatever is trusted in, it says, whatever is trusted in the Amplified. You're trusting, you're holding to that, you're holding to that. And God's get left out, he's get further back, push further back in your life. You're too busy, you've got too many things to do, you've got too many programs, too many things happening. I've just got to push them back, later. That's the warning. That's the message. Hidden treasures. We're going to get a hold of him and don't let him go. If eternal life means everything to you, you'll gladly, willingly sell all. The rich young ruler couldn't do it. He couldn't sell all. Even though I look very convincing, kneeling down in front of Jesus, oh Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? Look good. But when it comes to doing it, these treasures took over. The Bible says he turned away sad. I can't do it. Lost. How many millions in this world are doing that today? If eternal life means everything to you, you're willing to sell all. The Bible says he sold with joy, went and sold all that he had and came and bought that field to get that treasure, the kingdom of God, to get a hold of God. I'm not saying that you have to sell anything. It's not that. It's nothing to do with selling things, if you know what I mean. It's a parable. But if it is a hindrance to eternal life, if this thing that we're speaking of, and you know what it is, I don't know what it is, but God can show you what those things are. If they are a hindrance to eternal life and giving your all to God, then you must make a choice. If it's holding you back, there's no escape from it. You know, Jesus used very strong language. We read Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now the words hate not could mean, just for interpretation's sake, if you prefer Not hate so much as we think of hate. Hate not or prefer. Then if any of these things stand in competition with the Lord. In competition with the Lord. Jesus told another parable saying, a king had prepared a wedding for his son. Who would like to go to the wedding of the Lord?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he invited many to the wedding. The Lord has invited the entire world to come. He wants everyone to be saved. Who believes he does?
Amen.
So it won't be God's fault. It won't be on God's side of the deal. People are not receiving him. I just want to weep and cry when I think about it. And he made a wedding for his son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ setting up a wedding supper in the sky for all saved believers to come. And they sent out the invitations. They all began to had other treasures. They had other treasures that they would consider that a treasure to be invited by the king to come to the wedding supper. But they had other treasures and began to make excuses. Let's read this in Luke 14, verse 17. And sent a servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with all one consent began to make excuses. People are doing this today. It's excuses today. The first said unto him, I've just bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. He bought this piece of ground and he must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I must prove them. I pray have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. You know what they were? Excuses. A man bought a piece of land and he had to go and see it. You know why? Because the land might have run away at night. You know, Jesus used these examples for the stupidity of an excuse. Imagine a piece of land, half an acre running down the road. It's a ridiculous excuse. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I've just bought some tractors. And I need to go prove them. What does he want to prove them for? He already owns them. He's paid for them. They're excuses. The other one said, I just married a wife and I cannot come. What's wrong with taking your wife to the wedding? That's a normal thing to do. So we see they were just excuses. Those treasures were a curse to them. The land was a curse. The oxen were a curse because it kept them out of the wedding supper. And brother and sister, you can have treasures that are actually a curse to you. You don't even realize it because it's going to hold you back from that wedding supper in the sky, which is very soon. Jesus Christ is coming for his church and those that already are going with him. The Bible says in Luke 12:21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Terrible. Treasures for himself, but he's not rich towards God. He's got the wrong treasure. They were not willing to give up to put the marriage supper. In closing, when this man sold out of his past treasures, he willingly, gladly sold everything, went and sold his cow and he sold his little house or his vineyard or whatever he had, just to get enough money to buy that precious paddock. A precious field with all the treasure in it, which contained eternal life as Jesus was bringing it. He got this land. And it's mine. It's mine, he said. I've purchased it. And in there, there's some hidden treasure. And nobody can take it off me because it's mine. When you take the Lord into your heart, He's yours.
Hallelujah.
You're not going to let Him out.
Amen.
I encourage everyone to seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the life of God living in you, which is the sealing of your inheritance. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, Brother Keith, you're sealed in there. No one can take it from you. God has sealed it in you.
Amen.
Who's sealed in? Hallelujah. Which is the sealing of our inheritance. Once you are sealed, no person, no devil can steal it from you again. Let's read this as we close. Ephesians 1:12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed. You believed it. You believed the word of God. After that, you believed it. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So when you receive the word of God, you're asking God to seal that in there. Which is the earnest down payment, the guarantee of our inheritance. That land is ours until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Isn't that clear? It's just wonderful how those scriptures just all tie in beautifully. Wonderful Lord. Who wants that treasure?
Amen.
Then seek it with all your heart. Who wants to keep it?
Amen.
You want to keep it? Then be willing to sell all those old attractions. Those old treasures that hold you back. And be sealed into the kingdom of God. I want to see you all there on that day. Don't want these silly attractions. Silly treasures that hold you back all the time. You take two steps forward, you take three back. These three treasures pull you back. Don't do that. Too risky. If you don't treasure it, you'll lose it. You treasure something, you'll keep it and look after it. And don't let your salvation go over some ridiculous entertainment. Some ridiculous world fancy idea or something like that. You say, Lord, I'm going to go all the way with you. I want this real, living, powerful experience. The Holy Ghost is real and it's powerful. And I recommend you seek for it with all your heart. And when you receive it, you'll know you got it. And others will know too. I can't put that into you. The Lord came to me when I was 14 years of age, just a kid. He visited me that night on Sunday night. And my whole family were there. My mum and dad were there. They're going around the room and praying for each child to receive the Holy Spirit like they did on the day of Pentecost. Well, I didn't know what it was. I was just a Baptist kid. But I tell you what, when they start to pray, then He stepped into the room with me. I could never use the English language to express the joy,
yes,
the brokenness, and the happiness. I can't even put it into words. But it changed my life from that day to this. And it preserved me and kept me and will one day present me blameless when Jesus meets us in the sky. I'm going there because He gave me His Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, brother and sister, you say, oh, I don't feel very clean. I'm this, I'm that, I've done that. You don't know how bad I've been. I don't care how bad you've been. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
He took every sin that you have, and if you believe that He died for you, as they said to the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Hallelujah.
Who wants the Lord?
Amen.
Praise God. Shall we stand to our feet, brothers and sisters? Hidden treasure. We don't want that treasure to go. We want to keep it. We've got to get rid of, sell up on this. It's going to be a big sale. Selling out on this, sell out on that, so I can get this. You've done that in business. when you want something, sometimes you've got to sacrifice a few things. That's going to have to go. If I'm going to have to sell that, I'll need to sell this, and that, then I'll be able to get it. And that's exactly what the Bible's saying. It's not things. It's not possessions in a sense. You're giving up on all those hindrances. I can't make you do it. You're going to have to answer to the Lord on that day. What did you do? Hallelujah. Don't you love him?
Yes.
499 redemption. Not there. It's not there. We've got work to do. What about, you got a song, Brother Peter? Oh, well, maybe we'll just sing Stand Up for Jesus, Ye Soldiers of the Cross. Sorry, oh, what was that, brother?
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise, yes. We're joyful when we've done it. We've done. Okay, let's sing this one, and Nancy, you'll find it put on the screen for us. There it is. That's what Jesus told us in the reading. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then everything else will follow. Your marriage, or whatever, you're going to get this, you're going to get that, you're going to get a house, you're going to get... Let them all be secondary. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What? And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto. Let's sing now from our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come and we'll pray for you, Brother Lee. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and it shall find. Knock and it shall be
thinking about what was preached. You know, the scripture actually says that you can't even come unto the Lord except he first calls you. And you know what really just occurred to me? We all get called because we get that desire to see the Lord, to follow the Lord. But the desire is God calling you. And God gives you the desire. And that's him calling you. You know, we're always knocking on here, on your heart, saying you need to consider likes of what has been preached. You need to consider that when you've thought about Jesus and I haven't done anything about it, or I need to do this or that, and then the desire makes you change because God is doing the change. But he's calling you. Let's sing under here, this one here. It's a lovely, lovely name, the name of Jesus, 169. And then we'll close in prayer. It's a lovely, lovely name, the name of Jesus. It's a lovely, lovely name from heaven above. Dispelling the clouds of doubt and fear, filling the saddest heart with cheer. It's a lovely, lovely name, the name I love once more. It's a lovely, lovely name, the name of Jesus. A lovely, lovely name from heaven above, dispelling the clouds of doubt and fear, filling the saddest heart with cheer. It's a lovely, lovely name, the name I love. I will just close in prayer and thank the Lord for the meal that we're about to have and this afternoon's meeting. Lord Jesus, we're very grateful, Lord, that you have called us. And Lord, if we were all honest with ourselves and think back, have I ever felt that call of the Lord by having a desire that I should really know him? That's Jesus calling us. Lord, we're very, very grateful for those people that have actually met you now and the peace that's in our heart. We don't have to worry about all the adverse things that go on in the world because you have a way for us that takes us into eternal life. Lord, just bless the people here in the auditorium. Bless those that the hundreds and hundreds of people that are listening on the internet. Their time of listening, they can receive the Lord just where they are if they have that desire to do so. It's that desire that's calling us. And Lord, help us to come on through, because it doesn't matter what we've done, whatever sin, whatever mistakes were made, you covered them all, Lord, with your blood on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for that. We also thank you, Lord, for the meal we're about to have. We ask you bless the food that and bless the people that have brought it in, Lord Jesus. Be with us, Lord, as we have the afternoon meeting as well at 1 p.m. All are welcome. And bless the people, Lord, that joined us on the internet. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Let's sing that again, that chorus, as you may go at this stage. A lovely, lovely name. It's a lovely, lovely name, the name of Jesus.